The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
On this episode of Revelator, I welcome music guest Craig Owens from Chiodos, also Playboy.com, 2013 Cyber Girl of the Year Jennifer Vaughn is back on the show, this week's top movies and a look at the NBA playoffs, all this and more on Revelator. Welcome to Revelator. I'm your host, Ryan. Thanks for hanging out with me, and I've got an awesome show for you. You know, I think I say that probably almost every week, and you know what? I freaking mean it. This show is going to be great. We got Craig Owens from the band Chiodos stopping by to talk about the current tour and the new album, Devil, which is fantastic. Also hear some cuts off that album as well. And the lovely and very, very talented Jennifer Vaughn, 2013 Cyber Girl of the Year, will be making her second appearance in about a year on the Revelator show. We're always happy to have Jennifer stop by and chit chat for a little bit with us. So she's got some new projects and some things going on, and of course she's just a cool chick. So and she's drop dead gorgeous, you know, so you can't go wrong with that. And we always appreciate people stopping by and donating some time. Easter was this past week, so hopefully everybody had a nice Easter. You had some chocolate bunnies, you did the old Easter egg hunt thing, maybe you ate some ham, you found the Jesus. You know, he is risen, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, believe what you want to believe, I guess. But just remember, Jesus was the first zombie. No, I'm just kidding. you believe what you want to believe, I guess. That's just not my thing. But I did celebrate the Easter Bunny, though. And we did the whole egg thing with my son and stuff. It was a good time. He was a natural, man. You know, you don't know if you realize your kids know what the heck to do. You know, you put them out in the yard and they're like, you're like, here, go find some eggs and put them in this basket. Good luck. You know, and he's out there and he's running around. It's like a natural thing. The Easter Bunny must have told him or something. I don't know. He's out there and he's, putting the eggs in the basket and, running around the yard and stuff. It's a beautiful day here outside of Nashville, and hopefully you and your family had a wonderful Easter as well. But let's get to it. We got a lot to get to tonight. Again, Craig Owens, the singer from Chiodos, will be joining us, and the lovely, very, very talented, and very sexy, of course, Jennifer Vaughn will also be joining us as well. But you know what? You know, after Easter, you usually head on over to Grandma's house, right? Well, if you're these kids, you don't want to head over to Grandma's house. Now, okay, first off, this story does come from Florida. So right there, you probably should sit down and just soak it in. Just soak it in. Florida, I don't know if it's the water. I don't know what it is. Okay, it starts off, Crystal Hernandez is a 34-year-old grandmother. Let me think about that for a second. 34-year-old grandmother who left 4 kids and 1 grandchild at home. So she could go to the casino. I'm guessing she probably lives outside of the Tampa area. Only because I've done a little gambling in Tampa in my day. She doesn't have any custody of the children, or at least not anymore. Neighbors were suspicious when they noticed that the 5 kids were wandering around the neighborhood asking for food. And the age of these kids ranged from the age of 2 to 12. No word on where their mother or father were. The grandchild, again, not sure if it was in custody of Miss Hernandez or not. Obviously, none of the kids will be anymore. But that's not really the issue here. The issue is the living conditions of the home when the police arrived. The living conditions said that it was actually toxic and unlivable. Now, we're talking about piss and shit everywhere, okay? We're talking about overwhelming smell of urine and feces throughout the house and almost unbearable to stand smell, according to the Deputy Sheriff Matthew McGee. There were feces on the kitchen counters, on the floors. Dirty clothes were thrown around the residence. There was old food all over the place. There was actually more old, dried up, moldy food than there were on the floors and everywhere than there were actually in the fridge and in the cupboards, okay? Absolutely disgusting, okay? One, Crystal Hernandez is a dirty pig, okay? That's disgusting, okay? I can only imagine, the 12-year-old, hey, man, obviously a bad situation for that kid to be left to care for 4 other kids from the age of 2 and, up to, maybe 10, maybe, I don't know. gosh, just awful, you know? Rightfully so, these kids are taken away. And it seems like we've come across more and more of these stories, you know? Other than Crystal Hernandez being a disgusting pig, the rest of it is really tragic. And if you see something like that, you know, definitely report it. You know, the weather's starting to turn, I understand, you know, people are struggling out there, but man, you know, like if you're having trouble, reach out and go ask a neighbor or somebody for some food or something, you know, do what you need to do, I guess. But really, really tough, story there. Now, this one we're going to poke fun of because we've talked about it at least one other time. If you're listening to the show, you realize that we did a story about these two people who passed out, and actually OD'd on heroin while at a McDonald's with their kids. Happy Easter, everybody. Here's some tragic stories from kids and parents who are idiots. This guy, Robert Palmer, you know, and we didn't catch it the last time, but I had to check this time. Robert Palmer, I'm thinking, I was like, isn't that... Robert Palmer obviously found heroin irresistible. He overdosed on a McDonald's play area while his children were playing in the ball pit, you know. He was actually just sentenced to 6 months in jail for child endangering. This happened back in March, and the two were actually unresponsive at a fast food restaurant, again, in this case, McDonald's in the Cincinnati area, and other employees and patrons of the restaurant actually had to call the police and, you know, paramedics to get these people revived. The two children, age 5 and age 8, the relationship with the boy is unclear as far as Robert Palmer is concerned, but the 5-year-old girl is definitely his. Obviously, not going to be for much longer. His lawyer said, "My client is very disappointed." However, the prosecutor said that he showed little appreciation for how serious his actions were. Robert Palmer will get credit for time served in his arrest, which would be about 5 months. But again, he is Robert Palmer, and he does like heroin. So, moving on to something a little bit happier. Boy, we're really starting off with a real cheery note here with two tragic kid stories. Robert Palmer, the heroin addict. This is actually pretty amusing. And I think that our friend Lisa Monroe will enjoy this one as well. She was on an early Revelator show way back when we first started. But this is a little egg art for you. Swiss artist Milo Moore, during this year's art fair in Germany, gave birth, should we say, to artwork by squeezing painted eggs out of her vagina onto an empty canvas. She did this in a very public space. You can actually find this on YouTube and actually watch it. And visually watching her, labor, literally, for the sake of art. It's called the Plop Egg Painting. I watched the video. It's interesting. And of course, a lot of you out there know me a little bit. Like, yeah, of course you watched it. And I did. They have this person, kind of an ace or handler, for lack of a better word, put this little, swiveling curtain up so she can insert the eggs into herself. Then she walks out on this platform, straddles over and puts her leg in another platform, and then squats down and boom, the egg comes out and splatters everywhere, right? You know, and I was thinking, I was talking to Mike about this before we went on the air, and I was like, I really want Milo Moore to make me an omelet. You know, the Western omelet, you know, a little extra ham possibly, you know? Oh, boy. Squeezing panned eggs out of your vagina for the sake of art. It's art. Milo Moore, congratulations. I mean, it's fantastic. It was a really cool video. I kind of fast forward a little bit. I mean, it gets a little old watching, you don't get to see the insertion of the eggs and how that process is or how many she does at one time. I don't know. I'd kind of be curious about that too. How many painted eggs she can, I mean, she wants to talk about Easter egg hunt for Easter. Now that's Easter egg hunt that you may not want to, you may or may not want to be a part of, I guess, depending on what side of the yolk you're on, you know?
It'd be like a clown car for a vagina for eggs.
Right.
Egg drop soup, man.
Are those grade A eggs? Are they the large ones? Like the larger brown ones, you know? Oh boy. I was wondering, I mean, does her vagina look like a beef and cheddar, you know? I mean, jeez. Oh boy. Yeah, so, you know, at the end of the video, you know, she, her and her handler, you know, fold this canvas in half. And then she takes this roller. She does this stark naked too in the middle of this square at this art convention in Germany, and rolls this roller onto the eggs, you know, to, and unfolds it. And, I'm curious to see how much, what that piece, sells for, you know, the plop egg painting. I guess that gives a whole new definition to egg drop soup. Michael liked that one.
I wonder if it, I wonder if there's any residue of Monistat 7 on that.
Oh, man. I don't know. That's, I don't know how many eggs, you know, I mean, like, you know, is there like, we need to try to get it. We need to try to get Myla Moore on the show. I think that should be our goals. We should get Myla Moore on the show. Listeners out there, if you're in support of this, you know, help me out with this. We'll do what we can, and we'll see if we can reach out to her people and have her on. There are a lot of questions that need to be answered about this egg painting. Okay. Again, we got a lot to go to, so we'll move on with the top movies at the box office this weekend, starting with number 10, working our way up. The movie Bears, very disappointing opening up in its first week at only $4.7 million. The movie Noah at $5 million, Oculus at $5.1 million, Divergent at $5.6 million. The movie Draft Day, which I did get a chance to see last week as a Cleveland Browns fan, I thought it was good. The only thing I don't like about the movie Draft Day is that the voice of the Browns, Jimmy Donovan, is not in the movie. It's the only thing I don't really like about it. The rest of it, I thought it was really well done. You know, Jim Brown's in it, Bernie Kosar's in it, but Jimmy Donovan, voice of the Browns, longtime voice of the Browns, is not in the film as a narrator or anything, which I thought was a little awkward. Especially a guy who's been, you know, with the organization for as long as he has. Thought that was a little weird. But all in all, I thought it was a very, very good movie. Really a little slow moving at kind of in the middle there, but the setup was great. You know, the character development was good. And then, you know, the rush at the end and how fast paced it was when you're in the, you know, in the draft room, Kevin Costner, he's making the calls and back and forth and all this heat's going on. And the clock is running, you know, and the live experience is really, really, kind of gives you a little taste of what may be coming when the NFL draft comes up here in a couple weeks. At number five at the box office, Haunted House 2, $8.8 million. Transcendence at 10.8, the movie Rio 2, 22.1, and Heaven is for Real at 22.5. And again, for the third week in a row, number one at the box office is Captain America, the Winter Soldier. In 3 weeks has made over $200 million at the box office. Now, Jennifer Vaughn will be joining us here in just a moment. Again, Craig Owens from Chodos will be joining us. We're going to play some tracks off of the album Devil. The first track we're going to hear is Old Fish Lips is Dead. This is Chodos here on Revelator.
She's in love with the sun.
Chiodos here on Revelator. That is Old Fish Lips Is Dead off the new album Devil. Again, Craig Owens from the band will be joining us in just a moment. But right now, we have...
Now I'm joined now by the very sexy and lovely and also very talented Jennifer Vaughn. Jennifer, thanks for coming back on the Revelator show.
Thanks for having me. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Hopefully you're doing well. It's been a while since you've been on, almost actually a year. So it's been some time. So it's nice to have you back on.
Well, five.
I know, right? It's hard to believe it's been that long. But you know, last time you were on, you were kind of in the middle of your run for Cyber Girl of the Year 2013. That recently just ended, of course. I was kind of curious, like, does that do you get to meet the next lady for 2014? Do you know who that is at this point, or?
Oh, yeah. It's Elizabeth Marks. She was crowned Cyber Girl of the Year 2014, and we actually just got back from Cannes, France. We did a huge thing over there, a festival that we do yearly. So I got to meet her over there. Actually, I met her beforehand, in Houston. We're actually from the same city, believe it or not. So we,
wow, okay.
We met
I guess I need. I guess I need to move to Houston then, don't I? No.
Texas has a lot of gorgeous women, so.
No doubt. Well, I know you and Leanna Decker, who I believe was 2012 Cyber Girl of the Year, are pretty close as well. You guys actually did a photo shoot together earlier this year, I believe, right?
Yeah, we did. It was called Back to Back on Playboy.com, and they put the 2 years together, and it's really steamy. If you guys haven't seen it, go check it out.
I would recommend those are, I mean, Leanna's really cool, and you're both really, really great individuals, so, and the photos are unbelievable, very, very, very provocative, and very sexy, of course, so.
Yeah, Leanna's great, she's fun to work with, so.
She seems like she's a very energetic person to be around, so.
Definitely, yep.
Well, very cool. Now, you've also been busy, I know, we've kind of talked, kind of behind the scenes a little bit here and there about you getting into photography, which, you know, I think anybody that follows you on Twitter has seen a lot of the photos of a lot of the beautiful women you've been photographing. How is that something I know you kind of talked about last time about, you know, expanding your horizons a little bit. Obviously, you know, getting in the photography aspect of it is going to help you do that. Is that something you're really enjoying doing right now? And how much are you learning off of what you're doing?
Oh, I love it. It's like right up there with my passion for modeling. It's perfect. I feel like inspired every single day, whether it's a shoot or post work. A lot of my work right now, it's like going towards like some publications. I'm working with one model in particular. I won't name names because everything hasn't been released yet, but we have two Playmate publications coming up. Woo-hoo! So
nice.
Yeah. So I've been working really hard towards that, and hopefully we'll show pretty soon, but I'm really excited. I love it.
What's wonderful? I've seen some of the photos I follow on Twitter, and you've photographed a bunch of beautiful women, of course. Is that something you? Is there any? I know you worked. We had Holly Randall on the show as well. Is that something maybe you reached out to her, and maybe offered, you know, asked for like a little advice as far as like posing and lighting and those type of things? Or
I haven't necessarily reached out to Holly, but I've reached out to a few of my other photographer buddies for pointers and tips and. Everybody's been pretty helpful for the most part, and I've learned so much, but I also don't want to cross any lines and, like, bite anybody's style. I kind of want to make my own, you know?
Right. No, I definitely understand. I think every photographer kind of finds their own niche, but it's good to have, you know, to be in the industry that you're in, to have people that you can at least, you know, kind of bounce an idea off of, or at least, you know, kind of talk to, like, hey, you know, I want to try this, or... certain poses and different things now.
Luckily, since I've been in the field for a while, you know, I'm pretty good with the posing and directing. I've been behind the scenes, you know, for years and in front of the camera, so that all takes part in every one of my shoots. Makes it a little bit easier and smoother, I think.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, well, you always look very, very good in your shoots. Do you have any personal shoots coming up for you personally? Anything in the works that we should be have our eyes open for?
I have a few things, but nothing like set in stone yet, but there's a few ideas like going out and around right now. So, but I'm being pretty picky with my work in 2014. But if Playboy wanted to do another shoot, hands down, yes.
Any possible magazine portfolio or?
Oh, I'm just shooting now. Mainly, that's my main focus in 2014.
Very cool. Now, I know last time you were here, we talked about obviously you getting Cyber Girl of the Year, talked about your career and all those different things. And I remember you got to meet our producer Mike, who's not with us during this interview. But when we got done, I was like, you know what? I never asked her about the Playboy Mansion. Of all the things, I get a Playboy model on the show, and I didn't ask her about the Playboy Mansion. But so I'm gonna take this opportunity to ask you now. What was your first visit to the Playboy Mansion like?
It was in 2008. It was a party during the summer, and it was really exciting. I remember driving up to, the gates at the beginning, and it says Bunny at Play, and you just know, you hit the Playboy Mansion, and, there's this kind of euphoria feeling that, comes over you. You're really excited. Is it, a dream? And then you get there, and it's just so much fun. All the girls are in, lingerie or pasties, wearing glitter, body painted. The guys are all, dressed up too. It's just like a fairy tale.
I imagine, now being a beautiful woman such as yourself, is it kind of intimidating the first time you go there? You see, either models or, people you've seen before in magazines, you kind of get there and you're like, oh my gosh, that's so-and-so. Or is there any celebrity moments that you had where oh my gosh, I can't believe, I'm meeting this person here, that kind of thing?
Yeah, there were a few celebrities that I saw the first time that I was there that I was pretty excited about. Holly at the time was half of them, were one girlfriend. I got to meet her, and she was really sweet. So that was pretty cool. Sarah Jane Underwood, which I believe was Playmate of the Year the previous year, I got to meet her, and that was really exciting. I was, looked up to her and thought she was gorgeous. And then I guess there was Dr. 90210. I don't know if anybody knows who he is anymore, but he was there.
Nice. Well, very cool. It sounds like you're obviously a pretty good experience. Now, obviously with your fame, Cyber Girl of the Year 2013, have you noticed anyone noticing you in public? Say you're out to lunch with friends or something, or out. Has anybody ever noticed you at all?
Yeah, I get that a lot in airports, out and about and around town. I do get that a lot. It's kind of funny. People always come up to me and they're like, they don't just say my name, Jennifer. They're like, Jennifer Vaughn. Funny, my full name. It never gets old. It's
cheese. Now, is it more men or women that notice you? Have you noticed a trend at all there?
Oh, it's actually a good mix.
That's good. That's gonna be pretty good though. I imagine you probably get some creepy ones too. Is there any odd or creepy moments that you could share with us at all?
Pretty much all my friends have been really cool. I haven't really had too many. I mean, you get a lot of creepy stuff online, but face-to-face, I don't get a lot of creepy stuff.
Right. Uh-oh. I didn't
know. Knock on wood.
Right, uh-oh. Well, hopefully we don't start a trend here after people hear this interview, I imagine online you probably get some pretty creepy stuff. I can only imagine some of the things that people tweet at you and stuff. Every once in a while I kind of stalk you a little bit on Twitter. I guess stalk is probably not a good word to use there, but always check out what you're doing. It seems like things are going well for you, which is good to hear. I'm really excited. I know the modeling thing, you went through a lot to get where you are now, and to see you parlay that into, another career in photography and doing behind the scenes stuff, I think is great. And best of luck to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. Now, one thing I'll mention, I'll let you get on with your day here, but I know you were auctioning off some, or getting ready to auction off some, garments that you wore during your shoots with Holly for Cyber Girl of the Year and everything. Talk to me a little bit about that, and if people were interested in purchasing those items, how can they do so?
Okay, I'm auctioning off a few of my things from Cyber Girl of the Year shoots. I think it'll be a fun way to get the fans involved, and you guys can find that over at ebay.com user Jay Vaughn, which is J, the letter V-A-U-G-H-N 2011, and you guys can find it there. Every few days I'm going to post something new, so keep your eyes peeled. You might win something.
Very cool. Well, Jennifer, it's always a pleasure to check in on you and see how you're doing, and we appreciate you cutting some time out for us. You're a very lovely woman, that goes without saying, but also very humble, and we appreciate your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it too.
Thanks to Jennifer Vaughn for stopping by. Always a pleasure to talk with her. Very lovely lady, very attractive woman as well. For more information about this particular episode and Jennifer Vaughn, of course, head on over to omnes.tv. Again, it's omnes.tv, and find us on Facebook, facebook.com/ omnes.tv. You can find me, Ryan, on Twitter, Ryan_unsigned, and click on episode number 56. Really good stuff. And you know what? Again, Craig Owens will be joining us from Chiodos in just a moment. This is another cut off the album Devil. It is Looking for a Tornado here on Revelator.
From your knees, you've lost all direction. So afraid of rejection. Lost little toys and forgotten parts. Do I believe in us? Do I believe in lust? Am I just desperate for a pick-me-up? Maybe I got a little lost while searching for my faith stuck to your cross.
Chiodos here on Revelator. I'm joined now by Craig Owens. Dude, I'm really excited to talk to you, man. You guys got a lot going on, man. New album, tour, the whole deal. How you been, man?
Good. Tired, but good.
Right.
I mean, we've been, in the last like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we've been in London, Japan, and now we just started our full U.S. tour. We're in Boston today.
Very, very cool, man. I know you guys were, I think, in Buffalo the other night, so just, you know, jump right into it, man, which I really dig. Now, you know, and we talked, I mentioned obviously, you know, before the interview that, you know, I think a lot has been made about your past and stuff, and hey, man, we've all made mistakes. Lord knows I've made mine too, so, hey, man, you know, and I've said a lot on the show, sometimes it's hard to be the person you were born to be, you know, and hey, if every mistake we ever made, you know, dictated everything we do in the future, then we'd all be screwed, you know what I mean? But,
yeah, for sure.
the new album, Devil,
debuts in the top 15 in the Billboard Top 5 in active rock. I think it debuted number 1 on the indie charts as well. So congratulations on the new album, man. I dig it, dude. I really do.
Thank you.
There's a lot of solid tracks. We're going to hear some on the show as well, along with the interview. But, Devil, this is not your Pitchfork, Fire, and Brimstone kind of devil. You know what I mean? This is, I imagine this, you know, kind of you letting out some of those, you know, demons, or lack of a better word there, that, you know, maybe you've battled in the past, and the writing process, getting back together with the band and everything. What was that like for you guys, kind of getting back together and just getting in the studio and getting back at it again, man?
You know, scary but exciting. You know, anytime you open up and you're completely vulnerable, like you're required to be when it comes to creativity and writing honest music that comes from, you know, you. And the honest you, not just what you know, your mind tells you that people want. It's a little scary. So, you know, but it was also exciting to reconnect with these dudes that, you know, I went to high school with. These are dudes from my hometown. They're like brothers, you know. Through war, brothers are created. And I feel like, you know, we've had a ton of battles starting to, you know, the bond is just really concrete at this point.
You know, and I'm glad you mentioned it, because people may not be aware that you guys have been around for a little while, and we may have listeners that aren't aware of, you know, the magnitude of the band and, you know, the songwriting process and all that stuff, that you guys are really all about the fans, man, and just, you know, really genuine dudes, you know. And I think it's important, you know, you have those people that, you know, are kind of like your, you mentioned your conquer, kind of like your platform, that, you know, no matter what you're going through, you know, and what you may have, you know, done or you know, mistakes you made or whatever the case may be, man, you always have that, you know, you always have that core group of people. And I think that's important, man, for any situation. And this album, Devil, again, comes out, it came on April 1st, I believe. Dude, I dig it, man. I really do. Now, looking at the videos and stuff, you know, you read the, you know, the comments and stuff. Sometimes I like to read that just because they're humorous. But, like, you know, some people are like, oh, man, you know, this new stuff, I don't dig it, you know. But I think it really shows your guys' musical evolution, of not just being a certain type of band, but just being a good band, you know, or a great band.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, like, straight up, I'm just going to be, like, completely blunt. I mean, I think people didn't want to like the record. Like, those people, I think that they just didn't want to. Because if you listen to any Chiodos record, they, you know, there are versions of what it is that we did on this record, on every single Chiodos record that we've released. I think that maybe people had this perception of what they wanted us to be, and they only remembered certain songs, and that's how they associated. That's like what screams in their subconscious when they hear the name, you know. So I think I think a combination of that, and just kind of, you know, anytime, like, as a fan of music, anytime a new, like, a band puts out a record, I have such high expectations, and I have these nostalgic memories attached to it, that there's no way that whatever they release will ever match it. Like, there's literally no way. So the people that were open-minded enough, that were, you know, willing to actually listen to what the record is like, I think are really overwhelmed and excited and making new memories to it.
Well, I think the album is raw, on a lot of different levels, especially lyrically, man. A lot of, you said, you know, obviously you're kind of putting yourself out there, and I think lyrically you really do that, man. You know, songs like 3 AM, you know, the list goes on there, but, there's a lot to this album, and, I'm glad you guys, you know, were able to, you know, put it together, man. I really dig it. What's it like, you know, to finally kind of get out in the States now, get in front of shows, and be in front of, you know, the fans and the crowd? I know you guys are really into that stuff, which, you know, I like all bands that are, you know, sometimes, you know, bands are like, you know, we don't want to, you know, they're kind of recluse a little bit. You know, you guys are out there, you know, rolling the dirt, you know, doing it, man. What's it like to, you know, finally get out and play these songs in front of fans? This is kind of intimidating, too, for you guys.
It's good, man. It's a little intimidating because, well, first, we've been doing this forever, right? Like a decade now. We're still in our 20s, but we just started really young, you know? And so we have that. And so part of it is familiar, but at the same time, this is a new evolution of Chiodos. Anytime, you know, you add a new part of yourself, you know, you get in front of people for the first time, and it's a little vulnerable feeling. Like, I opened up on this record quite a bit. I think it's important that I take responsibility for any time I fall and show everybody that I do get back up again, you know, and that's kind of what this is. So this is us presenting the new version of ourselves to these people that have supported us for so long. So I think most of them back us. So it's probably a little bit in our heads, a little bit more than anything, you know. But I think it's exciting and scary and, you know, just overall necessary. You know, this is what we're supposed to be doing. This is where we're supposed to be and connecting with these fans that have had our back for so long is amazing and really reaffirming.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you guys obviously been a little while since the last album and then have this album come out. Like when you're doing the set list and stuff, you know, trying to say, okay, we want to play, let's say, 4 to 6 songs off the new album, but also still obviously mixing on some of the older stuff as well. Do you guys kind of do that as a band? Do you guys kind of change it up every night as far as, you know, this song is going to, you know, relate to this crowd for a certain way? Does that kind of go into it?
We don't really do every single night. We change it up based on, like, the flow of the set and how it feels, like, the way it's connected the night before. But we don't really change it up depending on who we're playing with. You know, like, we have a show coming up with like Avenged Sevenfold and Korn and all those bands. We'll probably play our harder stuff during those shows, you know. But on our tour, like on the headliner, we do a lot of throwbacks. We do, just like you said, I think we're doing 6 new tracks off the new record, maybe even 7, which is pretty crazy. But it just fits in the flow of what it is that we're doing. And I have some stuff from our first record, I have some stuff from our second record, and it's been going really well.
Very cool, man. Now, I know you guys have some VIP packages as well. You know, obviously available. You guys are doing some private acoustic sets as well. I believe it's on your website as well, where people can kind of enter it, whatever town you're going to, and kind of, you know, getting a chance to see you guys in an intimate setting. Was that something you guys wanted to do as a tribute to the fans who have been with you guys for a long time?
Yeah, man, I just think it's important to keep that barrier, like, you know, to break down that barrier. You know, there's, like, in the 80s, there was this massive barrier between, like, fans and bands, right? And I think that social media and the internet and things like that have broken it down. And I think, you know, we're more accessible now. So I think it's important to embrace that and cater to it and, you know, show some love to the people that that keep us doing what we're doing. Without their support, we, you know, if people didn't buy records, people didn't go to shows, we wouldn't be able to do this for a living. You know, we wouldn't [S2] Right. [S1] Be able to maintain it. So I think it's important to give them some love and to stay humble and remember that, you know, we're fans of music. You know, if this was our favorite bands, we'd be stoked too. You know what I mean? And I think it's important to remember that and cater to it.
I think that's well said, man. And I think there's a lot of bands that actually do more of that now than maybe some people realize. You still have, you know, like the 80s and 90s stuff where, like, you know, it was kind of like that, the Mystique or the Aura, and they came out with the lights and, you know, they had the towel over their head, you know, and they're coming down the hallway and it's like, oh, here they come, you know. And like now it's just kind of like, you know, like, man, let's, you know, we don't need fog machines and stuff. You know what I mean? We're like, we're not, you know, there's no big egos here, you know. We're just normal everyday people, you know, and just, you know, making music and living life, you know. And I think that, you know, getting out of that aura of the 80s, early 90s stuff is very key. And again, social media, again, Twitter, you know, Instagram, you know, Facebook, the list here, you know, obviously plays a huge, huge part in that. You know, obviously meeting fans, what is the craziest or most interesting thing that a fan has done to show you appreciation?
Man, even last night there was fans that came up with my signature tattooed. Seen my face tattooed on people.
Wow, nice.
Man, it's gone from everywhere to really humbling and amazing to really creepy. You know what I mean? Like, I love it, and the tattoos aren't creepy. But, like, back in my home, I lived in Detroit for a while. I'm in L.A. now, but was in Detroit for, you know, a decade of my life. And, I mean, I woke up to, like, people ringing my doorbell at 2 a.m., telling me on Twitter to answer the door, like, woke up to, like, tires sprawled out, like 6 tires with I Love You, Craig Owens, like behind my car and stuff like that at my home and stuff like that. It's pretty crazy, but, I mean, it's all love, you know? Like, as long as they're not trying to, like, you know, murder me and wear my skin to their birthday party, I'm cool. You know, right. Like, I'm all good. I can appreciate it. Like I said, I'm a fan of music first and foremost. You know, we make music because we love music, and you know, we don't do this for the paycheck. We don't do it for anything other than I want to share my experiences that I've been through with people that I know are going through it. I want to show them that, you know, that they're not alone, and I want to show people that, you know, we're fans of music. We make music we want to hear. So any of that fan stuff, I think it's awesome, and I welcome it.
Very cool, man. Again, I think that's a testament to you guys just being really humble and you know, again, I think a lot of bands are doing that. You know, I think a lot of the newer bands, it's not that you guys are a newer band, but I think a lot of the, you know, the younger generation kind of, I think, relates to that more. And that would be a little creepy, though, people in your backyard spelling your name out in tires and stuff. That would creep
right.
me out a little bit. You know, that's pushing the boundaries of borderline stalker a little bit. But
agreed.
But hey, man, I'm a Midwest guy, too, man. I grew up outside of the Cleveland, Ohio area. So, you know, people from the Midwest
love,
are...
I love it.
Yeah, man. So I think people from the Midwest are just wired a little bit different. You know, I'm in the Nashville area now, and you know, sometimes people kind of look at me if I say something or do something. They're like, yeah, dude, you are such a northerner, man. Like, like yeah, I don't drink sweet tea and stuff, you know. So, but I know you, you know, obviously, you know, touring is obviously physically and mentally demanding. Is there anything you're doing this time around to mentally and physically prepare yourself for that daily grind in and out, man?
Yeah, you know, I do, like, I meditate, do yoga, I read, you know, I've never been, like, a big partier, like, even in, like, my crazy past, I was more of, like, an isolated partier, you know, like, I'd be the guy that would get messed up, but, like, hide, and now, you know, what I do is I eat healthy, I work out, recently became, like, a vegetarian, I read a bunch, I stay humble, I stay connected with the fans, and I remember what it's like, you know, when, you know, I was first starting out, and I think staying humble is, like, the key to really being focused on this and not treating your blessings like burdens.
Well said, man. I think, you know, not to tie this all together, but, you know, obviously recently the 20th anniversary of Kurt Cobain and then the 12th anniversary of Lane Stanley from Alice in Chains. You know, I don't know if that hits home with you at all. You know, you're kind of close to my age. I may be a little older, but, you know, we talked about on the show quite a bit about, you know, reaching out to people who may be struggling, that type of thing. Is that something that you've thought about, you know, doing maybe later when you're not touring and stuff and being part of that type of close knit community and reaching out to people who may be struggling?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I try to do it with my music, you know, I mean, all I can really do, it's not like I have answers. It's not like I'm like some, like, you know, psychic or things like that. And it's not like I'm, you know, all I have is my experiences, and I just try and share those with, you know, I know what I've had to do to overcome my kind of demons, and I just kind of share that with people through my music, but, and a lot on Devil, I did that, but, yeah, I mean, the Kurt Cobain and Lane Stanley thing, of course, it hits home for me. I mean, I'm the biggest Nirvana fan ever. Alice in Chains is amazing. You know, no one did it like Lane Stanley did it, and I'll always kind of cherish that, but it's also hard because, you know, I don't want to dilute their message. You know what I mean? Like, cause I'll never know exactly what it is that they wanted or what, but you know, all I can tell you is what spoke to me through them. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I appreciate and you know, love everything that they did for music, and without them, I mean, I wouldn't be doing what I, you know, like anything I can do in music that isn't self-seeking, anything I do in life that isn't self-seeking, is rewarding. And, you know, do something for someone else that, without any, you know, without expecting anything back. I think that it just humbles you and it keeps me centered, you know, and keeps me focused on, you know, being the best me. So.
Man, I nothing more to add there, man. I think that's very well said, man. And I think that shows, just kind of where you're at, man. It looks like, it seems like you're in a good place, man, which is awesome. The album's great, man. I know you guys are out there, you know, hitting the road and got show after show. What are you in the Pennsylvania area right now, I believe?
No, we're in Boston right now. We were in
Boston,
Buffalo
okay.
yesterday, and then Pennsylvania is the next couple of days, so.
Gotcha, right on. Cool, man. Well, it's kind of cool to be in Boston, when, you know, obviously with the anniversary of the bombing and stuff, to kind of, I guess, cool, not necessarily cool, but you know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, kind of be kind of surreal, I guess, really, to kind of be in that area, you know, pretty much, you know, the anniversary week of everything that transpired there last spring. So did you get a chance to take any of the sights at all on tour, that, as much as you'd like to, man?
Yeah, not as much as I'd like to. You know what I mean? Like, it depends on the day and how much press and all that stuff that I've got going on. But, you know, I do way more than I used to. I'm a little less isolated now, and I like to get out and, you know, just walk around, hit a cafe, check out some local businesses. I always support local businesses. You know, I try my best to soak in the culture, you know, from the people, from the shops, talk to people, figure out where the economy's at, and it kind of helps, you know, get me ready for what we got going on.
Very cool, man. Now, I know you're an NBA fan, you're a Knicks fan. The season just wrapped up recently with the Knicks. You got the Phil Jackson thing, right? And, the thing that really gets me is that Amari Stoudemire comes out this week. He was like, yeah, I mean, he's like, we're the best team in the NBA. I'm like, I think Amari's a little out of touch, man. Like, you know, in the East.
I think Amari's been out of touch for a long time.
like, he's like, dude, you're the best team in the NBA. Like, the Eastern Conference was really, really bad this year, like all time bad, and they still missed the playoffs. What do you see? What do you see the Knicks doing, man? Personnel wise.
I have no idea. I have no idea. I mean, it's hard, you know. Like, you can't count on JR. And you definitely can't count on Melo. I think he's shown that everywhere he's gone. You know, great player, but I just think, you know, he can't do it by himself. You know, he can't. He's not a leader. I don't think he's a leader. I think he's a scorer, and that's all. I don't know. Hopefully Phil just makes some big calls.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what he does with coaching and stuff. Like, how intimidating would it be, the coach of the Knicks, with Phil Jackson sitting up in the box up there at Madison Square Garden? He's the only guy like that.
It can be either intimidating. It can either be intimidating, or you can find that as, you know, like, I'm going to do my best and I'm going to trust this guy and push us. And I hope that they get someone open-minded enough to say, I'm up to the challenge. Let's do this, because that's what they really need.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, had like Calipari and all these different coaches. I think Phil will probably find. Yeah, you know,
said,
like
ten times he's not doing it.
Yeah, I know. People be like, oh, he's going to coach the NBA. He's like, no, man, I'm not going back there again. He's like, he's got the gig at Kentucky. But I think Phil will probably find like a young, up and coming kind of coach. I think that's where the NBA is at now, is finding these, you know, these guys who've been in the film room for, you know, 7 to 10 years just studying film. You know, you look at Spoelstra down in Miami, and that's what he was, you know, and Greg Popovich,
yeah,
you know, in San Antonio. You know, you get guys that have been in the film room just learning the game, and those seem to be the coaches that are the trend anyway, you know?
I agree. Yeah. I mean, you can't do that. I mean, we saw what happened with D'Antoni and the Lakers. You know, we've seen once people hit their stride, and then they just go from team to team. They're not bad coaches. They can't do what it takes to turn it around. You know, you need to be on the tip when it comes to those Mike Browns, or, you know, you know, Woodson. Oh, you just have to be on, you know, get that young and up and comer, have the right, it's just gotta be like the perfect storm, you know, and hopefully that happens soon for the Knicks. We'll see.
Yeah, right on, man. Now, well, I know you, obviously, you know, being in the Midwest guy, are you a Detroit Lions fan at all, or?
Yeah, of course. How can I not be a Detroit Lions fan? Of course. And I love them because they represent to me what the Bad Boys represented back in the day. You know, they're like the gritty team that no one likes. They're dirty, and they play aggressive, and I love that. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the kind of team that that represents Detroit. That's the kind of team that screams Detroit to me. So, like, Ndamukong Suh, love him. Love everything about the dude. Love how he's aggressive. I mean, look what he's done for that team. You know, Calvin Johnson's a beast. Stafford's a little inconsistent at times and, you know, a little weak at times, but he's also amazing at times. So they'll round out, especially if Stafford gets older, and I love my Lions.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have a guy like Sue on your defense that kind of gives you that edge. You can't play defense in the NFL and not be a nice guy all the time. You know, you got to have that.
Look at the past, you know, like, you know, you look at all these amazing, you know, like James Harrison, like all these, like the beasts of the NFL. You know what I mean? Like you, yeah. Like Ray Lewis. Didn't he killed somebody and got away with it. Right. Like, you need to be scary in order to really, you know, play defense. You can't, like, that's just how it is. Like, even like Richard Sherman, you know what I mean? Like, dude talks a lot, but he's a beast on the field. And as long as you maintain that mentality, I think it's important. And I think you can stay focused and get it done.
Right on, man. Well, I could probably talk sports with you for a while, man. But I got to ask you one thing, and I'll let you get on with your day, man.
Cool.
If you weren't doing music, what would you be doing, man?
Oh man, probably something in like psychology. Something in psychology, probably.
Well said, man. Wait, Craig, it's been a pleasure talking with you, man. I know you got a busy schedule. I don't want to keep you too long, man. It's a pleasure talking with you. I encourage everyone to go out and get the new album, Devil. It's great. Keep doing what you're doing, man. And I encourage everyone to, you know, look online, you know, find out if Teodos is coming to your town and go out and see him. You guys have some awesome bands playing with you, too. Our Last Night, a band I really dig, some young dudes that really kind of come up, and a lot of other bands, too, man. So it's a great lineup. It looks like this could be a great tour, and best of luck to you guys, man.
Thank you so much for having me, man.
All you do is hate. Yeah, the drama shifts.
Chiodos here on Revelator. That is Duct Tape, another track off the new album, Devil. Big thanks to Craig for cutting some time out of his touring schedule to chat with us and talk hoops with us, talk tour, talk some of his demons of his past too. A guy has been through quite a bit and really a good success story. It really is for him to be what he's been through and recognize that and go through the process and get where he is right now on tour with a great album. Really, really cool dude. And obviously is interested in giving back to the fans and people that supported him along the way. And our pleasure to have him on the broadcast. Speaking of NBA, man, the playoffs just got underway. It's been crazy. I mean, road teams winning game one. The Pacers look like garbage. Overtime games, the awful officiating. I don't know, pick a game. The six fouls on Blake Griffin there a couple nights ago in 19 minutes, absolutely horrendous. And then the Clippers turn around and blow Golden State out by 40. The one team that looks dangerous and like a well-oiled machine is San Antonio. They look really, really tough. Made to be seen. I mean, they've kind of had Dallas's number for some time now. I think they've beat them like 9-10 times in a row at this point. So two teams that know one another very, very well. I just don't think Dallas has got enough defense. I mean, they're both offensive-minded teams now, but San Antonio still can play defense like they used to when it has to happen. The Heat look fantastic. The East is such a jumbled mess between the Raptors and Brooklyn and Washington and Chicago. There's a lot going on there with the road teams winning a lot of those games. Really, really mixed up in the East. In the West, everybody's good in the West. I mean, you got eight teams in the West. All of them, except for Dallas, won 50 games and Dallas won 49. I mean, you win 50 games out of 82 in the NBA, you're a good team. And everybody in the Western Conference won 50 games plus except for Dallas and they won 49. I mean, it is murderer's row in the Western Conference. I just don't know if Miami's going to come out of the East. They're looking at the way Indiana and their subconscious right now. It's who is going to be standing to face LeBron and the Miami Heat? And will they have enough left in the tank getting through the Western Conference, all those good teams, to beat LeBron, whether it be OKC, San Antonio, which I would like to see that rematch again, and the Clippers. I think those are the three teams that are viable contenders. I think the Clippers, if Blake Griffin plays like the way he did the other night, I think you're looking at a Blake Griffin, LeBron James Clippers versus Heat Finals, which would be fantastic. But I just don't know if any of those teams have enough left in the tank after the Western Conference to beat LeBron in a seven-game series. It would be a very, very daunting task to go through all those teams and to beat LeBron at the end. Remains to be seen. We'll cover a little bit more as we go on through the playoffs. Obviously, baseball underway, the NFL draft underway, as we mentioned as well. A lot of interesting things along the way here on Revelator. Thanks to all our guests as well. Mike, wonderful job as always. Jennifer Vaughn, Craig Owens, thanks for being part of the broadcast. It seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.
This was episode 56, Deviled Egg with a Side of Chiodos. For show notes or links to topics discussed on this episode of Rebel Letter, or to experience previous episodes, head on over to omnes.tv, that's omnes.tv, and click on Rebel Letter. Thanks for listening.